For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
First-time winners. Last lap battles. Race-ending collisions.
He's going to punch you!
A home curse lifted. A legend back on top of the podium.
Get in there, Lewis!
And seven different winners in 14 races.
Max Verstappen wins the season opener.
A Ferrari 1-2, headed by Carlos Sainz. Lando Norris wins for the first time in Formula One.
Charles Leclerc wins the Monaco Grand Prix.
George Russell wins an amazing Austrian Grand Prix.
Hamilton wins the British Grand Prix!
Oscar Piastri wins for the first time in Formula One!
Formula One in 2024 has been sensational so far. So what can we expect from the rest of the season? Welcome to F1 Nation. I'm Tom Clarkson, and joining me is the 1996 world champion Damon Hill. Damon, seven different winners in 14 races. It's been great, isn't it?
It's fantastic. I think it's all coming together. I'm starting to salivate already for the rest of the season.
That's the thing, isn't it? We're going to go to Zandvoort and then Monza and the eight races after that, not knowing who is going to win the Grand Prix. And let's face it, that makes a pleasant change after the last two or three years.
We've got a fantastic fight for wins. We've got a fight for Constructors' Championship. We've got a fight for positions in the Drivers' Championship. So it's all back, and we're looking forward to the remaining part of the 2024 season.
If you cast your mind back to the opening two races, that doubleheader in Bahrain and Saudi, Verstappen was on pole for both races, and it was a Red Bull 1-2 in both. And then we had that long flight to Australia for race three. And I remember just sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, how many races is Max going to win this year? And then, he had a brake issue in Australia, and he won in Japan and China. But really, ever since Lando won that race in Miami, it's been anyone's. It's been on a knife edge.
Yeah.
And now as we go into the second half of the season, it really is almost impossible to call.
It is impossible to call, because I think the trajectory has been quite noticeable. If you want to call it the plateauing of Red Bull and Max Verstappen has been quite dramatic. And I think that it's just, I don't know whether it's the cost cap or all the other things they bring in, the restrictions for guys who have won more than anyone else in the previous season, but it has to be partly that. But of course, it's no good just saying, okay, we'll let everyone catch up. If they don't know what they're doing, they won't catch up. So, you know, they are obviously earning those positions. They're earning the right to challenge for victories. And so McLaren notably, and also the recovery of Mercedes has been pretty dramatic since James Allison announced, how could we have been so stupid, you know, and now they've got their little tweak, whatever it is that they've done to make the car work. And yeah, it's all starting to come. Ferrari are the only people who kind of got in a bit of a vortex and going around in circles without really getting further ahead. But, you know, it is coming. So it's great to see.
Ferrari season. Remember that 1-2 in Australia? It kind of feels a bit like 2022 with Ferrari, where, do you remember, they started very strong, and then from the Spanish Grand Prix onwards, it started to unravel. I'm getting similar vibes from Ferrari now, although it was good to see them, I felt, the last couple of races before this break in Hungary and Spa. They seemed to get their mojo back, seemed to get some consistency out of that SF24. Damon, look, let me give you the state of play going into what is the final 10 races of the season, starting at Zandvoort at the end of the month. After 14 rounds, the standings look like this. Max Verstappen leads the way with 277 points. He's 78 clear of Lando Norris in second. Charles Leclerc is third, 22 points behind Lando, with Oscar Piastri fourth, 10 adrift of Charles. In P5, Carlos Sainz is 5 points behind Oscar, while Lewis Hamilton is a further 12 back in P6. And with 10 races left, including three F1 sprint events, there's a maximum of 284 points on the table. And given how close the field has become, anything is possible, and it's still all to play for. So, will Max Verstappen defend his title and become a four-time world champion like Sebastian Vettel and Alain Prost before him? Or will another driver dethrone the Dutchman? And Damon, what is your gut reaction now?
Well, my gut reaction to that is it's going to be a tall order to stop Max Verstappen in a Red Bull. I know that everyone's catching, but I think that he's shown he's prepared to fight every inch of the track to keep those victories, and he's able to pull results out of the hat.
Given where they've ended the first half, you know, let's throw our minds back to Hungary and all those radio messages. The Belgian Grand Prix, the dry pace of the RB20 was not close, quite frankly, to McLaren or Mercedes. You know, as Max is on his boat or whatever he's doing during this break, how do you think he's going to approach these last 10 races?
Well, I think he's shown slight frustration. He's been quite critical of the team, and he wants to see more action because he's starting to having to work a lot harder than he has been used to in the last couple of years. I think he will have to fight really hard for this championship. So whether they can come up with a little bit more pace for him on the development of the car, I'm sure they can. But he's still going to be chased hard all the way through to the end, I think.
I think Max, when he comes back, has got to realise that he's not going to win every race in the second half of this season because the competition is too close, and he's got to bang in the percentages. He's got to take the fifth places when that's all that the car is good for, instead of trying to force something that might lead to an accident with another car or result in a spin or some issue. He's just got to, when the performance isn't there, he's just got to get what is available on the table. And that might well be the case when we go to Singapore, of course. That circuit highlighted the deficiencies in the car last year. If that's the case again this year, then he's going to have to just turn up and get what is possible. Max has got to get what is possible out of each race. If he does that, he will win the world championship in my book. If he goes for the win every time, sometimes when it's not there and it leads to a collision with another car, then he won't win the world championship. And we're going to see just, you know, I hate the M word, but the maturity word. How has being a three-time world champion and how has being a little bit older changed him as a personality?
They'll still be difficult to catch. So given that, why would you then allow the closest rival to him, 78 points behind Lando Norris, why would you deprive him of 7 points?
You're bringing Hungary up again.
That old chestnut. I am sorry, but you know, I think this is what we want to see in Formula One. We want to see a challenge to the guys at the front, and if it's going to be close, you know, it could be a whole lot closer. It could be 7 points closer. And if Lando manages to solve his getting off the line problems or various early part of the race issues that have deprived him of a lot of points actually recently, then if he can solve that, then maybe it will be a close fight. But then Oscar has a right too. So, you know, it's, you know, the people who scored the most points as a team are Mercedes of the last few races. So, you know, I would like to see it close up towards the end. Of course I would. So would everyone. We want to see that thrilling finale.
Damon, my feeling is that Max Verstappen will not score the most number of points in these last 10 races. I think that'll be a Mercedes driver or a McLaren driver. But I think he will have done enough to win the world championship. And everything that we've discussed so far on the pod about Mercedes coming strong, McLaren coming strong, they're all going to be taking points off each other.
Yeah.
And that is only going to help Max Verstappen. You know, he hasn't won a race for four races, yet he's managing to extend his lead at the top of the championship just by banging in consistent points finishes. And that's all he needs to do to win the title from here. I think it's a completely different situation in the Constructors' Championship. I really do believe that McLaren can win that. They're only 42 points behind. They've got two incredibly strong drivers in Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris. Actually, Damon, can we just talk about Oscar Piastri? He won the race in Hungary. You feel that perhaps Lando Norris should have done, but still, He took the lead at the start, did everything he needed to do. He then went to Spa. Okay, he finished third on the road, but with George's disqualification, that became second. I feel that he is every race now getting better and better and better. And I look at that Spa race and think it was faultless, apart from the moment in the pit lane when him and the front jackman had a...
Yeah.
At a moment.
Sent him all the way to Brussels, didn't he?
Yes.
It was like he got a head start on everyone.
But on track, he was perfect. You know, looking after the tyres, which was a massive issue for him in year one last year. He's now really getting on top of that. And I asked the question, is the reason that Lando Norris is making all of these mistakes, is it because of pressure from his teammate? Is that one of the reasons, at least?
I think there may be something in that, Tom. I think that Lando's enjoyed the status of being the person in McLaren and that provided the results for them and got them all, you know, excited. And, you know, he was the man out there. Now we've got Oscar, who is equally the man, you have to say. I mean, I still think Lando's got the edge, but I think it can't be comfortable when you look over your shoulder and you've out-qualified by your teammate by only a tenth of a second or even less sometimes, because that means that every time you're going out to do a lap, you have to get every tiny, tiny bit, because otherwise you'll be behind him. The hungry thing was difficult. I've been into this before, so I don't want to go over it all again. But the point is, if they don't win the world championship this year with Lando or with Oscar, with, let's say, Lando, who's closest, and they miss out by a few points, they will look back at Hungary and go, why did we do that?
I mean, Damon, you've won a world championship. I don't think you can pick one moment that has lost you the world championship. If they lose this championship, this drivers' championship, by 7 points or less, I don't think they can just look at Hungary and go, well, there we are, we gave it away. I think they can look at all the other races, you know, where they had some pit stop issues, where the car wasn't performing. I think you can't, I really believe you can't isolate one moment. And Lando Norris lost that Hungarian Grand Prix at the start. He was gifted the lead by pitting him first, and they just corrected that situation once Oscar had pitted, and they discussed it before.
Yeah.
Lando had agreed to everything. Yeah. And I think, speaking right now in August, I don't think McLaren think they can win the Drivers' Championship. I think they think, you know, Max has just got to keep banging in the points finishes and it's his. So I think McLaren's focus is the Constructors' Championship. And it made no difference in Hungary who won that race, because they were both McLaren drivers in terms of the points it would give the team.
Yeah.
But let's move on from Hungary. We've discussed that many times.
That's going backwards. We want to go forwards.
Can I just add one thing about Lando, which is, I think his peaks at the moment are higher than Oscar's, but we are seeing peaks and troughs still from Lando Norris, whereas increasingly we're getting a very level trajectory from Oscar Piastri. He's an incredibly cool customer and nothing seems to faze him, and I think he's going to become an increasing force in Formula One as a result.
Yeah, I agree with you. Oscar is definitely showing himself over time, over this second season now in Formula One, he's showing himself to be a gradual learner. He's got clearly got talent, but he's also learning every race, and he's building bit by bit. He's getting stronger and stronger and better and better. And the race win, of course, is a huge boost to his confidence and self-esteem, and also the effect on others around him, because of the fact that you can no longer look at him as a hopeful. He's a guy, he's a Grand Prix winner and potentially a world champion. He's got that calmness, a coolness inside him, and an inner coolness. I mean, I don't know what's going on inside there, but he seems pretty calm to me. He doesn't seem like he's overexcited by anything or over upset by anything. And I think that's a very good state of mind. I mean, if I was to compare someone in our sport who was like that, you know, you'd have to say the person that springs to mind immediately would be somebody like Jackie Stewart, who never allowed emotion to overrule him. And I think that's a really good state of mind to be in as a driver.
It seems like more and more people are becoming their own bosses at the moment. And you know what they're hearing a lot? That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform which helps you start, run, and grow your business. Shopify has revolutionized millions of businesses all over the world. No matter what you're selling, footwear or flowers, coffee or cosmetics, Shopify makes it simple, online and in person. Whether you need a point-of-sale system for your store counter or an online e-commerce platform, Shopify covers all of your sales channels. It can even get you selling on social media marketplaces too. You'll have complete control over your business and brand, and Shopify's industry-leading tools at your fingertips, so there's no need to learn design or coding. Plus, Shopify helps you succeed every step of the way, with award-winning help and an extensive library of business courses to learn from. What's lovely about Shopify is that no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with the confidence and control to take your business to the next level. So it's time to get serious about selling and get Shopify today. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a £1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/nation, all lowercase. Go to shopify.co.uk/nation to take your business to the next level today. shopify.co.uk/nation. Damon, let's move on to Mercedes. They're very much in the mix. They've won three of the last four races. Would you believe that? It's an extraordinary turnaround by that team since the Monaco Grand Prix when they first brought the new front wing. George Russell ran it there exclusively, and they've just gained in momentum ever since. You know, the next race, Russell starts on pole position after setting the exact same lap time as Max Verstappen. And it was kind of in Canada where I felt the team properly arrived. And I think they will win lots more races in the second half of this year. Partly because I thought Spa, Belgian Grand Prix, Sunday was run in very hot conditions. We were both there. And that has been the Achilles heel of that W15 so far this year. It's performed okay in cooler conditions, cooler track temperatures, but it performed on a hot track at Spa. And I think that was another breakthrough moment for the team. So, you know, Formula One is a sport that follows the sun, apart from Singapore and Las Vegas, obviously. But, you know, we do deal with hot track temperatures. And now that they've got that sorted out, I think they will be formidable in the second half of the year. Damon, one thing that is interesting is, you know, we're now only 4 months away from Lewis Hamilton leaving Mercedes, joining Ferrari. Is it at this stage that things maybe start to get a bit awkward between him and the team, as maybe the focus looks towards 25? And once they've made a decision on Kimi Antonelli, let's say, joining the team, does Lewis then start to become a bit of an outsider? Does that make it harder for him?
I think it's got to, hasn't it? I mean, he's got to be excluded from conversations to do with whatever's coming for next year. They don't want to show him any insights that he might take to Ferrari, particularly. So maybe he's deprived of a little bit more information than he's liked in the past, but they are an honourable team, Mercedes, and I think Toto is an honourable person. I think that he'll always be treated fairly within the team, but there's only so much you can give away, isn't there, when you've got a guy leaving. It's not like a technical person who, when they leave a team, they have to go on gardening leave and they can't join a team until the following year or something like that. You know, the drivers can go from day one to the next team the moment their contract has expired. The trouble is, drivers are not necessarily privy to all of the technical things that happen. And in any case, they probably wouldn't understand because it's highly technical and you only have to speak to some of the engineers in the sport to know that there is a need to understand very complex technical things, which very few drivers can do.
I think Carlos Sainz is one of them. Yeah. He seems to be able to break it down and explain the technical aspects in layman's terms.
You would know what they're playing with, yeah, and you'd know what sort of directions, you'd know what, in general, what the team was up to. And clearly that Lewis will be able to go to Ferrari and say, listen, when we changed our front wing did this, and that was a special tweak with the front wing that we learned and unlocked our performance. He'll be able to tell them that. But then, of course, they'll probably already know that. Everyone watches the other teams like hawks, and nothing really is missed in what is brought forward. You can't see what's under the cover. You can't see what's going on with the power unit. And let's be honest, that is really deep science. You know, you're probably never going to know what's going on under the hood. Yeah, it's only so much you can take as a driver.
We talk about Lewis Hamilton. I've mentioned Carlos Sainz. Of course, he was announced as a Williams driver a couple of weeks ago. Do you think he'll get some confidence from that? Knowing what he's doing next year, will that help him arrive in a more positive state of mind? I mean, he spoke quite often this year about how draining it was having to make this decision. And, you know, on last week's show, James Vowles talked about, you know, the number of conversations he had with Carlos Sainz. Well, you have to assume that he was also having conversations with Alpine. He was also having conversations with Sauber, Audi. He was probably having conversations with Mercedes, trying to get a one-year deal there. It must have been such a distraction.
Yes.
All of those different conversations, that now he's got some clarity. Do you think that will help him just in terms of what he's got coming up in these last 10 races with Ferrari?
I think so. Yeah, I think definitely it will be much easier for him to go, okay, well, that's my decision made. The mind can be quieter and you can get back to just doing what you love doing, which is driving the car. And he's driving Ferrari. So, you know, he's going to enjoy every last second of this, because it is a special thing to be a Ferrari driver, and might be some more wins for him out there, which he can take with him to another team. That's certainly the way I looked at it when I was with Williams, when it was announced that I was leaving. Before I got to the end of the season, I just thought, well, I'll have this world championship and I'll take it with me. Thank you very much.
Damon, look, we've discussed the four teams, Red Bull, McLaren, Ferrari and Mercedes, who are likely to do the winning in the second half of the year. If you look at the second half of the grid, Aston Martin, VCarb, Haas, Alpine, Williams, Sauber.
I'm quite intrigued in what's going to happen with Alpine. They've got the nucleus of having done well. They were always my opponents when I was racing. I was never privy to their team. I didn't really, they were always the enemy in some ways. You know, they were quite cunning and they were inventive, but they were competitive. You know, they got a strong competitive streak in there, which I still detect. There's still that nucleus of competitiveness in Enstone, and you know, their history, they've got that ingenious kind of culture. They were always the team that were pushing the boundaries. But anyway, we put Flavia back in there and you've got Ollie Oakes, maybe a new guy to organize the team. Maybe they'll get back to doing some interesting things, and I'm interested in how that can develop. I think that's got development potential.
Yeah, I'm going to single out one team for the rest of 2024 outside of the top four, and that is Aston Martin. I'm intrigued to see what they can do. You know, Alonso, I think, grabbed P8 at the last race before the summer break at Spa, and he has spoken about the team needing to properly understand this car so that they can have, and I think I'm quoting him now, a normal 2025 campaign. So I want to see them get on top of this car over the course of the next 10 races. So I'll be watching for that.
I think talking to them, I think they're caught between two stools at the moment. They kind of moving into the bigger factory that they're still using at someone else's wind tunnel. So they're not quite fully where they want to be yet. But when they get that in place, so how much they can do between now and the end of the season, I don't know. I think they might be in a holding position and kind of going, well, but this is the best we can do with what we've got right now. But we really will be able to do something amazing for next year. And when you think about where certain people who design cars might go, that might be one of the places that could be on the list.
So you're talking about your old mucker, Adrian Newey, aren't you?
Yeah.
Go on, have you got some intel?
I have got no intel other than someone who is nothing to do with friends of the Newey's, nothing to do with that. It's completely independent of anything. Came to me with a bit of information which suggested there was something in the pipeline on that front.
Can you tell us this?
Yeah.
Damon, tell us this as a friend of Adrian Newey. Are you convinced that he wants to continue in Formula One? Just tell us that.
I think he wants to continue in Formula One, but I think he wants to be able to do it at his leisure. I don't think he wants to be under stress to do it. That's my take on it, is that he needs to be able to bring all his experience and be listened to and be able to do the thing he knows so well. But you know, it's competitive. Whenever you bring a new person or you arrive in a new place, you've got to get to know everyone else. You've got to know how they work. You know, it's a huge job. And maybe he's got another 10 years in him doing this. I don't know. But as he said himself, he's a bit knackered. He said, I'm a bit tired. You know, it is stressful because he's competitive. So he will put pressure on himself. And after a bit, you can only do that for so long.
The one thing I feel about Formula One, having spent a few years observing people like Adrian Newey, is that you're all in or you're all out. And so if Adrian comes back with Aston Martin, he's going to be on the pit wall. He's going to be, if he does it, I'm convinced he'll do it flat out, because that's the only way he knows.
And there may also be all the other ancillary projects which might be attractive too. I don't know.
Well, the Valkyrie is going to go back to Le Mans, isn't it? His car, the Valkyrie, and then who knows what else Aston is going to get involved in.
Of the teams that were interested and had the capability, so McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes, I think Ferrari's gone a bit cold, I think, and McLaren already have it up and running very well. Maybe it would be wrong to have someone like Adrian there, I don't know. Whereas Aston got headroom, they got the resources, and they've also got unfulfilled potential, which Adrian could be really useful for.
Watch that space. Well, Damon, it's been brilliant to chat, as ever. Now, predictions. Hmm. Okay, we're mid-summer break. Everyone is relaxed and they're all thinking about these last 10 races. Who's going to win the Drivers' Championship? Who's going to win the Constructors' Championship? We've discussed it on this show. But just for clarity, can you just repeat who you think is going to win the Drivers' Championship this year and the Constructors' Championship, please?
Who's going to win the Drivers' Championship? I think it's going to be Max by a whisker, and the Constructors' Championship will be McLaren.
Well, we agree on that. Do we think it's going to go down to the wire?
Yes, I think it's going to go
down
to
the wire. Last race?
I think it's going to go down to at least Brazil, something like that, yeah. I can't see how we're going to get that. You know, you still need luck to win races, and whilst you can have an advantage and win by a whisker, which is sort of what we're seeing with Max at the moment, something, we need one dropout, and that's 26 points, is it, out the window?
Well, with fastest lap.
With fastest lap, yeah.
Well, Damon, as I say, I agree. I think it's going to be Max by a whisker. I think we're going to go down to the last race in Abu Dhabi. But I think the Constructors isn't going to be that close, actually. I could see McLaren getting some wind in their sails and very quickly overtaking Red Bull, unless Sergio Perez comes back from the summer break a changed man. But let's wait and see.
You don't want to know what's going to happen, Tom. We can don't even try and guess. I've known Formula One a long time, and you just cannot guess what's going to happen.
That's right. Well, Damon, thank you very much as ever for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your summer break. I'll see you at Zandvoort, and remember that you listening could be at one of the last 10 races of 2024. Tickets for Zandvoort, Las Vegas, Austin, and the remainder of the calendar are on sale now. Just go to tickets.formula1.com. And we'll be back next Monday with our preview of the Dutch Grand Prix. So look forward to doing that. But for now, thanks for listening. F1 Nation is produced by Formula One and Audioboom Studios.